Well, the book of the prophet Isaiah and the chapter 7. Book of the prophet Isaiah and chapter 7. We'll read from verse 17 down to the end of the chapter tonight. Verse 17, "The Lord shall bring upon thee and upon thy people and upon thy father's house days that have not come, from the day that Ephraim departed from Judah, even the king of Assyria. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall hiss for the fly that is in the uttermost part of the rivers of Egypt, and for the bee that is in the land of Assyria. They shall come and shall rest, all of them, in the desolate valleys and in the holes of the rocks, and upon all thorns and upon all bushes. In the same day shall the Lord shave with a razor that is hired, namely by them beyond the river, by the king of Assyria, the head and the hair of the feet, and it shall also consume the beard. And it shall come to pass in that day that a man shall nourish a young cow and two sheep, and it shall come to pass for the abundance of milk that they shall give, he shall eat butter. For butter and honey shall everyone eat that is left in the land. And it shall come to pass in that day that every place shall be, where there were 1,000 vines and 1,000 silverlings, it shall even be for briars and thorns. With arrows and with bows shall men come thither, because all the land shall become briars and thorns. And on all hills that shall be digged with the mattock, there shall not come thither the fear of briars and thorns, but it shall be for the sending forth of oxen and for the treading of lesser cattle." Amen. Well, we want to look at these verses this evening. And we've entitled this particular Bible study, "The Consequences of Rejecting the Word of God." The Consequences of Rejecting the Word of God. Now, Ahaz has elected to reject the Lord's word with regards to the invasion of his land. God had graciously commissioned his prophet to speak to Ahaz. Isaiah had delivered a message to the king, a message to the king which was full of hope and promise. Ahaz had only to believe the Lord's word and rest confidently in the faithfulness of God. But foolish man that he was, sinful man that he was, sadly, he does not rest in God. He chooses to throw in his lot with the heathen, idolatrous king of Assyria. He trusts to the arm of flesh to deliver him out of his difficulties. He rejects the Lord's prophet, and ultimately, by extension, the Lord himself. Such sinful behaviour, and that's what it is, such sinful behaviour is always the forerunner to sorrowful consequences. Sin is always the prelude to sorrow, and that is what is in view here. When the Lord in mercy makes known his will, when his word is brought clearly to our attention, when he gives clear direction as to what we ought to do, we are under obligation to obey his will, heed his word, and follow his direction. A failure to do so is fatal. It is fatal. Sinful disobedience to his will, unbelieving rejection of his word, and a proud casting aside of his directions will always end badly. It will always end badly. Sinners who will not listen to God when he speaks to them in mercy, God will oblige them to listen to him when he thunders against them in judgment. Ahaz may not listen when God speaks in mercy, but when God judges, he is obliged to sit up and take note. Well, verse 17 constitutes the beginning of a proclamation of judgment against Ahaz. The Lord shall bring upon thee, and upon thy people, and upon thy father's house, days that have not come. Unprecedented days, from the day that Ephraim departed from Judah, even the king of Assyria. Events which are to unfold, events of a distressing nature, are not to be explained away here by natural causes. The text is clear. Quote, the Lord. The Lord, it is stated. He shall cause these things to come to pass. These events are of his making. And you will see in the text, the Lord, these events are deliberately brought to bear upon Ahaz. The Lord shall bring upon thee. He shall bring it upon thee. He zeroes in on this one man. And as Ahaz views what will unfold, he is to understand that these things are not to be explained away as a run of bad luck or just the natural ups and downs of life. We're having a bad run of it, but it's only a bad run and things will change. No, he is to understand, and this is why he's told of it before the time, he is to understand that the Lord is judging him. The Lord is punishing him for his sin. The Lord is chastising him for rejecting his word. Now, such is the portion of those who reject the word of the Lord. That is their portion. Their sinful actions bring upon their own heads the judgment of God. And it's a thing, of course, that is a matter of grief in many ways. But when unsaved men and women will stand before God in the great judgment, when the opportunity for salvation and so on has gone, and the sands of time have run out for them, it will be a particular grief of soul and heart to them when it's made abundantly clear to them that it is their own actions that have brought this judgment crashing down upon their head. There will be no nonsense talked in that judgment day. There will be no learned philosopher or smart aleck scientist arguing the toss with God. Men and women will stand shamefacedly and will be given their just deserts, and they will go to their place of punishment with intense sorrow. Well, when we look at this business here, what is equally distressing in verse 17 is that the consequences of individual sin, and it's the responsibility for this largely does rest with Ahaz, the consequences of his sin, individual sin, are not usually limited to the individual. Verse 17 notes, the repercussions of Ahaz's sin extend beyond him. They extend to his people and to his father's house. The Lord shall bring upon thee and upon thy people and upon thy father's house. The rejection of the word of the Lord by one man, the evil of that, goes beyond the man. Is it not true that when parents in the home reject the word of the Lord, often, not in every case, but often, they not only condemn themselves to a Christless, godless, and thus hopeless and empty future. But so often that act in its evil extends its influence down through the generations. Looking at verse 17 again, it must surely have pained Ahaz to hear that the instrument of judgment that God had chosen was none other than the king of Assyria. Even the king of Assyria. That's who's coming to execute the judgment. God had chosen him. The man that Ahaz had chosen to deliver him. The man he had looked to. Well, that man is now going to destroy him. That must have been a very painful irony indeed for Ahaz to have to listen to. Truly the scripture is right which states, "Lo, they have rejected the word of the Lord, and what wisdom is in them." Jeremiah 8, verse 9. Well, we read in verse 18, "And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall hiss for the fly that is in the uttermost part of the rivers of Egypt, and for the bee that is in the land of Assyria." God will whistle up armies from the south and from the north. Assyria to the north, Egypt to the south. There will be an irresistible judgment falling upon the land of Judah. God will hiss for these. He will whistle up these armies. Armies of such size that they are comparable to swarms of flies and of bees. Of course, the Nile River, in a hot country, of course, just the swarms of flies would be quite something at various times. And this is the illustration that is being used. They will swarm down from both directions upon the land. Verse 19, "And they shall come." Be under no illusion about it. They shall come. The word of the Lord will be fulfilled. The word of the Lord in judgment upon Ahaz. They shall come and shall rest all of them in the desolate valleys and in the holes of the rocks and upon all thorns and upon all bushes. They shall come, these armies, and we are told they shall rest. That is, they shall come as an invasion force occupying the land. And wherever in the land one looks, even in the lonely, desolate places, they shall be found there. Verse 20, "In the same day shall the Lord shave with a razor that is hired, namely by them beyond the river, by the king of Assyria, the head and the hair of the feet, and it shall also consume the beard." This will be a time of humiliation. A time of humiliation for Judah's king and his people. "In the same day shall the Lord shave with a razor." Ahaz had paid for Assyria's help. He had paid for it. He had emptied the temple of its silver and its gold. He had used up the treasures of his own palace to buy the king of Assyria's help. But it turns out he has bought himself a barber who will take the razor to the land and will humble it and will humiliate. And what a dreadful bargain he has made. There are those who prefer to serve mammon and to trust the strength of their riches and their wealth. There are those who will bypass the unsearchable riches of Christ. There are those who will take no interest and rest in no way upon the faithfulness of the promises of God. They prefer to trust their own resources. And this is Ahaz. And this is what happens. This is the consequence of rejecting the word of God. It all goes wrong. It all unravels. It all starts to fall apart. And it's so often the case. Verses 21 and 22, "And it shall come to pass in that day that a man shall nourish a young cow and two sheep. And it shall come to pass for the abundance of milk that they shall give, he shall eat butter, for butter and honey shall everyone eat that is left in the land." The farmers have been devastated. Little is left of once great farms. A young cow and two sheep hardly constitute an extensive herd. And when you look at the diet, when you look at what is on the menu, it is not steak that they're eating, it is butter and honey shall everyone eat. Butter and honey is on the menu. The great herds appear to have gone in large measure. There is a sense in these verses that there has been a downgrading of the nation's or Judah's agricultural strength. This, of course, is a consequence of invasion. There is always a downgrading, a dreadful economic effect. Verse 23, "And it shall come to pass in that day that every place shall be where there were 1,000 vines at 1,000 silverlings. It shall even be for what? For briars and thorns. Where there was 1,000 vines, there used to be such productivity, 1,000 vines which people would pay good silver for. Now, there is only the briars and the thorns." This is economic devastation. This is the Lord inflicting financial disaster upon the land. This man who trusted to his riches. You can see how the judgment is just zeroing in on the sin. "With arrows," verse 24, "and with bows shall men come thither, because all the land shall become briars and thorns. The men of weaponry in large measure have taken over from the men of the field." In Isaiah 2:4 we read of the prophet prophesying of the swords being beaten into plowshares and the spears into pruning hooks, the weapons of war being put away. Peace was prophesied, and the instruments of agriculture, of prosperity, were brought out. But here the reverse has happened. The bows and the arrows are out, and they have replaced the farming tools. And as verse 25 says, "And on all hills that shall be digged with the mattock, there shall not come thither the fear of briars and thorns, but it shall be for the sending forth of oxen, and for the treading of lesser cattle. And on the hills, which in more prosperous days were the location for the vineyards," because we're told in Isaiah 5:1, "Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill." This was the place for it. This is where the vineyards were planted out, and so on. Just whatever way the land was, and as you know, I'm no farmer, but whatever way the land was, this is where they planted out the vineyards. But when you look at verse 25, the hills have been downgraded. It's now for the cattle. It's for oxen and it's for cattle and so on. There's been an economic downgrading. Again, the land has been degraded. Judah is not what it was. It's not what it was. This man thought he was buying his deliverance, but he hasn't prospered. This judgment has hit Judah where it really hurts. The standard of living, the quality of life, it has been drastically reduced. And again, I think we see the consequences of rejecting the word of the Lord. We see the consequences of a man, and he's heard the word of the Lord. God has sent his prophet. He has told what shall be, but he won't listen. he won't listen. And it's just a very, very sorry tale. Those who serve mammon, those who place their trust in their treasures, those whose confidence is in their own resources and not in the Word of God, may discover to their cost that the Lord takes their treasures off them. I think people forget that the treasures of this earth are the Lord's. I think people forget that in the end, whatever is available to us, it's only in the form of a stewardship. The treasures really weren't Ahaz's to give out. It was for him to trust the Lord. It was for him to trust the Lord. But people are like that today. They put their trust, they formulate their future, they make their plans all on the basis of earthly, worldly thinking, without any real reference to what the Lord might want and what the Lord says in his word. Well, you know, that scene which was played out here, and that scene which is played out in so many places, that scene which is played out in the end time, a powerful scene in Revelation 18, a scene of merchants weeping and mourning, over the destruction of that great city of commerce, Babylon. You know, that scene is played out on a much smaller scale in so many minor individual and family disasters. It's played out. That godless city in Revelation 18, that God-rejecting, that Christ-dishonouring city, obsessed with trade, with a lust for money and for commerce, when it's destroyed, the weeping and the wailing. And that is played out again and again on a lesser scale in so many households. The man whose trust is in uncertain riches, that man is a fool. He is wise whose trust is in the Lord. He is wise who relies upon the faithfulness of him who cannot lie. All this man had to do was to listen to what God had to say to him. God said to him as plainly and as clearly as you could wish, this invasion, this army that's coming, this counsel they have taken against you, it shall not stand. It shall not come to pass. All that man had to do was say, yes, Lord, I believe it, over to you. That's all he had to do, and all would have been well. How sad it is to see people in our time. Yes, in different circumstances, but it's the same type of thinking. How sad it is to see them with the Word of God before them, with his promises, his resources, in a sense, at their disposal, backing up the Word of God. How sad it is to see them turn from that and to trust in their own resources. How sad it is to see the sinner seeking to employ his own resources to get himself to heaven. How sad it is to see individuals who have been exposed to the Word of God, whom God has dealt with in mercy. How sad to see them turning away from the Lord. We are to learn the lesson here. This is a warning passage. There's no question about that. This is a warning, and it's a very needful warning, and it's a warning to us that we not only that we should never reject the word of the Lord, but we should take God's word at face value. We should take it as simply as it's given to us. And no matter what worldly wisdom might say, We take what God says, we rest upon it, and we act upon it. We act upon it, not upon our own notions. May God give us grace to do so. May he bless this word to our hearts, and may he encourage us now as we come to pray. Amen.